The power of blessing. We started this little brief series last Sunday morning, and we said then that in bestowing blessing, we're communicating a sense of love and acceptance. We're ascribing worth and value to a person. And in addition, we said that we're setting and keeping before that person the knowledge that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. We're imparting to them a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose in God's kingdom and in God's economy. We're declaring to our children, if we're parents, or to our spouse, or to friends or family, or whoever is in, within our sphere of influence, that they're God's children, that they belong to Him and not to the devil and not to the influence of the world, and that we're imparting to them that blessing. We're saying to them, God's got a plan for you, and we want to help you discover that plan. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we need to recognize that and use our words, use that power to bestow blessing and life. I said last week to recognize that your words are having an effect, to make it a blessed effect, make it a positive effect, a godly effect, a grace-filled effect. And so what we say and how we say it makes a difference in people's lives. Last Sunday, we looked at the story of Isaac and Rebecca and their sons Esau and Jacob. It is something of a convoluted story for sure, but it shows us the power of blessing as Isaac, the father, blessed Jacob, but it also shows us the sadness, the breaking that comes when there is no blessing because he didn't have a blessing to give to Jacob's brother Esau. The biblical account recorded in Genesis 27 also gives us an example of the family blessing that Gary Smalley and John Trent talked about in their book, The Blessing. And if you remember, we talked about five elements of the blessing that Smalley and Trent talk about, the way that we can bless other people. One was through appropriate, meaningful touch, a pat on the back or a touch on the arm or a high five or whatever appropriate, and a spoken message. And then we covered those two last week. And then this morning we want to talk about these next three: attaching high value to the one being blessed, picturing a special future for the one being blessed, and an active commitment to fulfill the blessing. So look with me at these three things this morning. First of all, we're to bestow blessing by expressing high value. To value someone or something is to attach great importance and worth to something. It's at the very heart of the biblical idea of bestowing blessing. So in Hebrew, the root meaning of the word blessing is to bow the knee. It's where the word comes from. To bless means to bow the knee. We bow the knee before someone we value and to show we honor them. You bow the knee before royalty, before an earthly king or queen. I was watching an old movie one night this last week. Errol Flynn is a whatever he was, but he bows the knee before the Queen of Spain, puts that knee down, you know, and bows before. It's what we do to show honor. We do that before an earthly king or queen. You symbolically bow before great talent or great ability, something of great value. You know, it's the old, we're not worthy, I'm not worthy, that kind of deal, whatever. So we're symbolically saying, man, someone has such significance and value that we bow before them to recognize that. So let me ask you this morning, what or whom do you value? What do you show, to what do you show the highest value in your life? And hopefully you know this, that we're supposed to use things and value people, right? Everybody knows that. You value people, you use things. What happens is we sometimes get that the wrong way and we start valuing things, and when we do that, we use people. We don't want to use people, we want to value the people. So we can get our values out of kilter a little bit. But think for a moment about something, an object that you value highly, something that you possess that you place high value on. So maybe it's your car, maybe it's the expensive shoes you just bought with your savings or whatever. Maybe it's a musical instrument, like a new piano at your house or whatever, a collection of some kind that, boy, that's your precious moment statues that you've, you know, hanging on, them big-eyed kids sitting up there looking at you on from the shelf, and that's your pride and joy, you know, and don't let anybody dust those because they're liable to drop one or whatever. We had an exterminator at the house, and I was watching as he moved around behind my piano. I'm thinking, you and your little pumper deal there, don't touch my piano, dude. I mean, I love you, you're a nice guy, but, you know, Your family would miss you if you scratch my piano. So I'm just telling you to be careful there with the piano or whatever. And so think about that thing. Maybe you're, you know, maybe you got a sports car out in the garage, or you got a 1935 Plymouth out there underneath something, and it's never seen rain drops, and you value that, whatever it is. Think about how you treat that object, how you respect it, how you show respect and value, how you speak about that thing. And then think about the people in your life. And then let me ask you, do you show greater honor to or bestow greater value on those things, on that object, than you do to the people in your life? You talk about how beautiful that car is. Man, she runs like whatever. And you talk about her like she's a woman, you know, and you're out there in the garage in the middle of the night kind of polishing the, you know, the hood on that thing and stuff or whatever. Just get you a cot and move out there, Jack, because that's where you're going to end up. But anyway, are you valuing, I'm preaching this morning, aren't I? So you value that object out there. I mean, y'all don't know it, but like 1 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I walk in there and go, man, that piano is really looking good in there. Anyway, so how you talk about that thing. Oh, I love my new and whatever that is. You bestow honor on those things. But then by comparison, how do you speak about your child or your spouse or your friend or your coworker or the waitress that brought your food to you today that was trying to get to 16 different tables and you didn't think she brought your refill of water fast enough? How are you talking? Listen, if you're valuing things more than you're valuing people, then something's kind of out of whack. Are you blessing others and bestowing high value? Listen, we value the people in our life, don't we? We need to talk about them in that way. We bless others with our words. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When we bless the Lord, we're acknowledging and honoring God's intrinsic worth. We're attaching high value to him. We're bowing the knee to him for who he is, not just for what he's done, but for who he is. And while Scripture emphasizes blessing the Lord, it also speaks of us blessing other people. So the Bible says, this is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. We read last Sunday the blessing that Aaron and the priest spoke over Israel at the close of their service. In all these examples, they were attaching high value to people. They were recognizing and acknowledging them as special individuals, recognizing their intrinsic value and worth. It's what the patriarchs did in blessing their children and grandchildren, ascribing worth to them, ascribing and fixing high value to them, declaring God's plan and purpose over them. It wasn't because of anything they had done. They were speaking about what would happen, what was to come when they blessed them, but they were declaring the value of these children and grandchildren, not for what they did, but for who they were, sons and daughters. When your child was born, I can still remember, you know, the doctor coming in and saying, here's your daughter. He did that twice. And I'm able to say, you know what, at that moment, they had not contributed one thing, and not performed, hadn't done anything, just cried and laid there. And I thought, like most parents, I'd die for that kid right now, right now. I'd lay down my life for that kid. What in the world? Why would you do that? Because of the intrinsic value of that child. This is my daughter. This is my daughter. This is my child. This is how much I love them. We're ascribing value. Well, they're still valuable, and they contribute a little more, but they're still valuable to us. We're blessing them not because of anything they've done, but who they are. We do the same when we bless our children or our spouse or our friends or grandkids or nieces and nephews, the people of significance in our lives. And believe me, you know this, everyone longs to feel accepted and valued and honored. Everyone needs to hear words of high value expressed about them, not just for what they do, but for who they are. It's not just about your performance. It's about who you are and how precious and how valuable you are to me in my life. As parents, if we only praise a child and attach value to what the child does, to performance, then we're likely to either cause them to be driven, an overachiever. You know, I've got to do this because I've got to get words of approval spoken to me from someone, or it'll cause them to withdraw and fail to even try because they're afraid to risk losing approval or never receiving it at all. And so look for ways to express high value and acceptance apart from performance as well as for the performance. To be able to say, look, I love you because you're my daughter. And I'm proud of what you did. But I told the girls growing up, there's nothing you can ever do that will make your mom and I stop loving you. That won't happen. Doesn't matter the choices you make or anything else. You're always going to be our daughters, and we're always going to love you. We're proud of what you've done and what you've accomplished, but we love you for who you are. You're my kid, right? And we're just going to love you. You're valuable to us, and nothing's going to change that. In Genesis 49, Jacob, who the Bible also, they renamed him as Israel. And so it says, as he blessed his sons before his death, and then a comment about that, it says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, of Jacob. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. And look at that last phrase, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. When you look at his blessing that Jacob blessed his 12 sons, Jacob used a word picture with each of those children. Now, they were going to establish a nation. They were going to be building this nation of Israel and leading the tribes of Israel. And so some of those images were a little more graphic, some were a little more warlike or violent sounding or whatever, but there was a word and a picture with each of them. Judah, he said, you're a lion's cub, strong and quick. Dan would be like a serpent beside the road. Issachar would be like a raw-boned donkey. Thanks, Dad. You know. Naphtali was like a doe set free. Joseph would be like a fruitful vine. The point is, Jacob spoke uniquely to each of his children. He recognized potential and assigned high value to each of his children. So think of ways that you can bestow blessing and assign high value to those that God has placed in your life. Whether you're married or single or a parent or whatever, God's brought people into your life. How can you assign high value and bless those people? Identify character qualities and traits that you can commend and to which you can attach value. Point them to and point out their great potential. Think about Jesus saying to Simon, whom he nicknamed then Peter. So he said, you're called Simon, the son of Jonas, but we're going to call you Peter, which meant the rock. Well, there was nothing about Peter's character and personality that would suggest stability, like a rock. That wasn't him, all right? He was up and down, and he was judging this and jumping on that and impetuous and all the things that he did and all that. And Jesus even said to him, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Well, you can't sift a rock like wheat. Peter wasn't much like a rock at that point in time, but Jesus saw something in Peter that Peter didn't see in himself. He recognized potential and bestowed value and blessing on him. Praise the potential you see, even if that person doesn't recognize it yet. Express high value. The people God's placed in your life are valuable, more valuable than any possession you might have. Recognize it, value them, and bless them, not just for what they do, but for who they are in your life. It's been years ago, Paul and I went to a marriage conference in Branson, and at the, was at the Grand Palace or something, wasn't it? And so we get into Gary Smalley that wrote the book, The Blessing, with John Trent. He was the speaker. And there's, 2,000 people, 2,500 people in there. And so after one of the breaks, he came back out, and Smalley had a violin with him, and he held this up, and you can kind of see some strings kind of hanging loosely on it or whatever. And he said, hey, what do you think about my violin? And, we just barely paid any attention to it. Nobody was too impressed with the look of it. And then he said, what if I told you that if you look here in the opening in there, and he said, and you can see a name in there, and it says A period Stradivarius. And when he said that, there's 2,500 or so in there, when he said that, you heard this audible gasp, and everybody in the room went, oh. I mean, it kind of filled the place. Oh. And Gary Smalley said, that's the sound of honor. That's the sound of honor right there. Oh. It kind of takes your breath away. that you realize, and he said, and you know, I mean, if it's restored and whatever, who knows, worth $100,000 or whatever. And so it's inestimable. And he said, that's the sound of honor. That's the sound you need to make to your family, to your spouse, to your children. He said, you know, I teach this. He said, I do it now to my kids. They walk in the room and I do it just to annoy them. Oh, my daughter, my son, you're so valuable to me, of inestimable value. Oh, Dad, knock it off. You know, you're just annoying us with that or whatever. But that's the sound of value. I want you to, you guys, you take my, I think Beck, is Beck in here? I think she's working the nursery, huh? She's in the Ark Park working, yeah. Beck, if you watch this later on, you still take my breath away. You guys take my breath away. My family are important. Bestow blessing, high value, even though we annoy each other, we love each other, that's what you do. So let's bestow blessing on one another. Then bestowing blessing, we do it by picturing a special future. And hopefully, if you're expressing that high value to your children, your spouse, or friend, or whoever, you're also picturing a special future for them. Gary Smalley writes, when it comes to predictions about their future, children are literalists. So he says, particularly when they hear predictions from their parents, the most important people from an earthly perspective in their lives. For this reason, communicating a special future to a child is such an important part of giving the blessing. So when a child believes that his or her future is hopeful, that there's something to look forward to, that there's possibility out there for them, her entire, his entire attitude toward life is different and positive. So if you're a parent, speak words that encourage and predict a special future, one that includes God's best and God's purpose and God's design and destiny for your child. For instance, to say, you know what, God's given you such a sensitive spirit, I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't end up helping a great many people as you grow up and get older. You know, God's going to use you and bless you. Contrast that with, you know what, you're just so lazy and selfish, I can't believe it, you're never going to amount to anything, you know. You know, why can't you do this and why can't you that kind of stuff or whatever? Picture God's future for them, a future that's full of God's purpose and meaning and show them, look, you can make a difference in the world. You can make a difference in the lives of people. This is St. Patrick's Day and you know, Patrick was captured, wasn't he, and taken as a slave to Ireland and managed to escape. And then Patrick got saved and decides he's going back to Ireland as an evangelist and to a pagan nation at that point in time. And this guy comes marching in to tell them about Jesus. Well, who spoke into Patrick's life as a slave, a servant boy, and told him, you'll be able to affect the destiny of a nation? All right, so St. Patrick's Day is not about green beer and all that stuff. It's about calling a nation to repentance and salvation. That's what Patrick was all about. And somebody spoke that into his life, and God called him and used him. Speak that into our children. God's got plans and purpose and potential and a destiny for you. Who knows what God might do in you? As a parent, seek to find ways to help your child discover God's plan for their life and then picture that future. Give them a general sense of blessing. The prophet Isaiah declared, here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are here for signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty who dwells on Mount Zion. Bestow that kind of blessing on your children and on those in your circle of influence. That God brought you into my life for a reason, for such a time as this. Say to your kids, God blessed you. God gave you to your father or mother and I. You're not an accident. You're by God's design. You're a sign and symbol of his blessing. You're the seed of the righteous. The promise of the Father is for you. You're for signs and wonders in the world and in the church and in our family. You'll make a difference. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. Let's find it. Let's discover it. And I'm saying it to parents to teach it, but I'm saying it to you students that are here this morning. God's got a plan for you and for your life. Let's discover it and figure out what it is and embrace it and run into it and live it out, because beyond anything you can dream or imagine, God says all things are possible and he can use you to make a difference in this world. Let's find it. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It means we're going to find out the way that child's supposed to go. Don't try to steer them. Well, here's what I want you to be. No, 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 no. What are their gifts and talents? What are their natural abilities? What's God speaking to them? What are they gifted at? What do they love? What are they passionate about? Find that out, and then let's train them up in that. Let's make them the best of whatever it is God's calling them to be and see what God wants to do in their life. In that passage we studied last Sunday from Genesis 27, when Isaac blessed Jacob, he spoke of nations serving him and people coming and bowing down to him. Well, Jacob had nothing when those words were spoken to him, but it planted a picture, a future in his mind that kept him through all the ups and downs of the journey over the next 15, 20 years, that he kept thinking, somehow God's going to be with me because of the blessing. It was spoken over my life. God's going to be with me. God's going to bless me. He's got a purpose and a plan, and I'll find it. Pastor Jeff has bestowed blessing on hundreds and hundreds of students over the past 14 years as he's taught and prayed and cried and met with them. He's declared that passage from Jeremiah 29 over his life. I heard you tell students the other day, you still carry it in your wallet, don't you? A piece of paper that God spoke to him when he was a student. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And Jeff has been believing that and speaking that over students and telling them that they're important, they have significance, that you matter to Pastor Jeff and to this church and to God, and it's still the truth. It's not just a cliche. He means it from the depths of his being, and we mean it too, that God does have a good plan for you. Live that plan out and be everything God's called you to be. Think what happens when you speak words filled with hope and potential, words that picture that special future over those people in your life. Words of blessing have the potential to transform the lives of a child or a spouse or a friend. The words we say, the future we picture for them helps develop their thinking patterns. The Bible says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the words that you speak, the future you picture, helps literally, physically transform the thinking pattern of their mind. They come to believe in God's help. They come to expect God's help. They grow up desiring God's will and God's way for their life. My parents and Sunday school teachers as a child in Muskogee and as a teenager here at Carbondale, pastors and family members spoke that to me and over me and into my life. Somebody believed in me and took a chance and said to me, God's got a plan for you, and God wants to use you and your gifts and your talent, and you can affect the life and destiny of others. And God called me and God gifted me, but others let me know that God could and would use somebody like me if I surrendered to him and to his plan and his purpose. And they were behind me, and I knew that. People in this church were behind me, and I knew that. I understood that, and it made the difference. And students, nothing's changed in 50 years. This church stands with you, and we're behind you, and we believe in you, and you can accomplish great things for God. God wants to use you to picture a special future for someone in your life and in your circle of influence. And the devil and the world is trying to picture an entirely different future for them, one without God and without a higher purpose. He wants you to settle for far less than what God wants you to settle for. He wants to conform your mind to his distorted ways and perverse plans and all those things. He wants to limit you. He wants to limit your future by telling you you're nothing, you're nobody, you can't do anything. Listen to me this morning. You are valuable. I don't care how old you are, young or old. Your gifts are valuable to God. He's gifted you and called you. There's a higher purpose and a higher calling for you than just taking up space or just partying or getting drunk on the weekends and trying to make it to work on Monday and throwing your life away. You just put things on cruise control and you're just trying to get through it, or you're moving from one broken, busted, abusive relationship to the next, and you're used and misused and you're using people and all that. Listen, God's got a better plan for you than what you're living right now. Hear what I'm telling you. There is blessing for you if you'll believe it and embrace what God has for you. There's a whole different life. And then you can go in turn and speak blessing to others and picture God's future and God's destiny for them. Maybe you feel like you don't have anyone in your life to speak hope and blessing to you. Well, first of all, you're wrong because you got me, and I'm speaking blessing to you this morning. I'm speaking blessing over you. If you're watching us at home or somewhere else, there's blessing for you. God loves you, and he's got a plan for you. But if there's nobody else in your life, let me suggest something to you. Why don't you bless yourself? Why don't you bless yourself? Start, if nobody's ever pictured a special future for you, start picturing a God-blessed future for yourself. Start picturing yourself living out the good plans that God has for you. Start believing what Pastor Jeff said, that God's got a good plan for you and a purpose greater than what you've believed in the past. Picture yourself, if all you see is failure and brokenness and broken marriages and relationships like everybody else in your family, start picturing a different future, one that includes you obeying God and making wise choices and serving him and following him and living for him for a lifetime. Start picturing a different future for yourself. If you're thinking, well, I'm too old, I'm past that, and the only picture you've got is sitting in a wheelchair in a nursing home somewhere, you need to start picturing a different future for yourself. To tell yourself, you know what, I'm willing to be used by God as long as I'm drawing breath. Lord, I'm here wherever you put me, whatever you can do for me, and picture a future where you're serving Jesus and a future of involvement for you in the church or in your family or community. Picture a future blessed and used by God regardless of your age or the season of your life. If you're breathing, there's a purpose and a plan for you, and you can live that out. Single, married, old, young, God wants to bless you, and he wants you to bless others. God's got a better future than you can imagine. See if you can't picture it and say, Lord, what's out there for me, that's what I want, what you've got for me in my life. And here's the last element of the blessing. Bestowing blessing requires an active commitment. So we've talked about meaningful touch, and spoken words, expressing high value, picturing a special future. All those are essential to the blessing, but there has to be an active commitment to seeing this happen. James in his epistle said, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, you can say all the right stuff, but if you don't put feet to it, if you don't put it into action, it's not doing much good. We can say good things, but we need to follow through. Oh, you know, I love you and I'm there for you, you know, and then they're not there for you. You know, and it kind of says, well, if they're not there for me when they said they were, maybe they don't love me after all. And it kind of calls it all into question. Be there. If you say you're going to be there, be there. If you say you love somebody, put some action to it. There's got to be follow through. There's got to be commitment to it. Bestowing blessing requires a commitment to action. To bless your children requires commitment and follow through. Don't just tell them, show them. Commit to it and then show up. To bless your spouse, to bless your friends, your coworkers, it requires action. It means listening and learning and loving and being there for each other. And so let me just quickly give you some practical ways to live out this active commitment to those in your life to bless them. First of all, commit the person being blessed to the Lord. In other words, pray for them regularly, daily. If you got kids, I hope you're praying for your kids. Pray for your children. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your friends. Trust God to provide, but pray faithfully for those that God's placed in your life. And as you pray for them, acknowledge how important and valuable they are in your life. You know what? And when you pray for them and acknowledge that, it makes you want to drop them a note, doesn't it? It makes you want to just say, hey, I'm just grateful for you. I'm thankful the fact God brought you into my life, how blessed I am. You know, you'll text your wife or your whoever, significant person, hey, just thinking about you today. I've prayed for you today. What a difference that makes. Commit that person being blessed to the Lord. And then actively commit yourself to their best interest. And if you're a parent with more than one child, each child is different with varying needs. Remember, Jacob blessed each child. Remember what it said in Genesis 49, giving each the blessing appropriate to him. So just because they share your DNA, or they were raised in the house with, you know, you got four kids and you raise them all the same way, it doesn't mean they're going to love the same things or need the same things or even respond to parenting style in the same way. So get to know your child. It's amazing, isn't it? Raised in the same household and you got one kid that responds to this and the other kid just looks at you like, that's what you're bringing to this? They're nothing. And so you got to figure out, you got to know your kid and figure out, okay, how's this going to work? What's the best? Know this person. Know your spouse. Know your friends. Here's a news flash. Breaking news this morning. Your spouse will change over the years. and you'll need to know, okay, so this is the best way to bless them. What's the best interest for them? I know it's like, well, what do you mean they're going to change? No. Really, you wouldn't ask that question, would you? So I've been married to be 44 years in May, and I'm still discovering stuff, and there's still things that I kind of go, seriously? When did you start liking that or whatever? Oh, no, I've always kind of liked that. I just never had time. Really? Well, how'd I miss that, you know? And then there's other things like, you want what on your hamburger? I thought you always had, anyway. Maybe just hadn't paid attention for the first 43 years, but anyway. I thought you always, no, I never had that. Really? Boy. Anyway, your spouse is going to change. Kids are going to change. Their taste and the season of their life affects things. What was best, what met the needs 25 years ago won't necessarily be the same today. Your friends are going to change. Your friends are going to go through different seasons of change in their own lives. And so how can I best meet the needs of those people? What's in their best interest at this point in their life? Well, you used to love that. Well, I was 15 then, and now I'm 75. Things have changed a little bit, you know? So, yeah. Instead of perfume, I need some kind of aspirin thing for this elbow. Anyway. So how can you best bless the fragrance of mentholatum early in the morning? How can you best serve and bless those in your life? Which brings us to the next point. Become a student of those that you wish to bless. What are their interests? What will bless them and encourage them to grow and serve the Lord? Become a student of your child. Well, we're all pretty busy, I know, but you need to know. You need to know what's going on. What do they dream about becoming? What are their interests? What are they passionate about? Ask you, who and what is influencing their lives right now? Who and what is influencing their lives? Maybe you don't have to snoop through their stuff, but maybe say, hey, show me what you're looking at on your phone, if they got a phone, you know? What, I couldn't name you. I said I wasn't going to say this, but at the 9 o'clock, I had to admit, if you said, name a movie star, Cary Grant, I'm a little behind on, you know, Matthew McConaughey. Is he still a guy? He's still a thing? Boy, kind of got a little rise out of the section over there, didn't I, Matthew McConaughey? I see him on those Lincoln Continental commercials. I don't understand those commercials. But I kind of like him. So I can name a few of those guys. But I mean, if they're under the age 30, I got nothing. And if it's like, oh, don't you know she's famous? She has millions of people follow her on a blog. Well, then I got no idea who that is. And you couldn't even register my indifference for the most part. And I know but if I had a child, then I'd be knowing a little more. If I had, you know, if I'd want to know who the boy bands are now or whatever, but right now I don't have to do that. But you need to know, what are their interests, who and what is influencing them right now, and then help them to see that God's got a plan for them and that God wants to be a part of their lives in every way, in every choice, in every decision, and model that for them and direct them to Jesus. And then the next is spend time with those you want to bless and give them your full attention. Some of you are getting ready to go on spring break, and so just give you a little tip. See if you can't pay attention for the next 4 days. I know it may be painful to actually pay attention to your family, but see if you can't give it a shot for the next 4 days. Yeah, the first thing I said, I'm not even going to look down there. Give someone, here's the deal, and for you watching, my family sitting on the front row. By giving someone your full attention, it communicates acceptance and value and worth. Well, thank you, Bill, for laughing. Be an active listener. See, this is just... Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching us today. I got to get out of here. When you preach yourself, when Dad preaches himself under conviction, talking about family things. Be an active listener in your... I wrote down these four words. Put down your... phone. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I get mine out after everybody else is scrolling theirs usually, but put down your phone and give them your attention. All right? Let's make a plan. Make a plan. And I always say, well, I got to have my phone. You know, what if there's an emergency? Somebody calls. So anyway, but yeah, put down your phone. Pay attention. Spend a little time with those people. And then I'm just about done. Blessing children will also mean discipling and disciplining children. If you're a parent, that's where the word disciple comes from is from discipline. You need to disciple your children. Show them how a follower of Jesus lives and live a life that's worthy of being followed. And you'll have to correct them and discipline them as well. Not just punishing them for something wrong that they've done, but correcting their path and guiding them back to right choices and to show them the difference. Here's where we went off the rails. Here's what that choice leads to, and here's what this choice leads to. Let's make the right choice. Lead them and show them the choices so they'll follow the Lord. Speak blessing, not entitlement, but speak blessing and teach them the power of serving God and serving others as Jesus called us to do. If you look back at Jacob blessing his sons in Genesis 49, you'll find him pointing out some areas where they lacked discipline and where they needed to change. And you're a raw bone donkey, but here's what's going to happen if you do this. He was pointing them out. You're like Issachar, you're like a serpent on the side of the road, but here's where you need to change. He addressed some areas where they needed to change. Part of blessing will include training and correction and loving reproof. Speak the truth to your kids in love. And it can't all be flowery words, and not everybody should get a trophy, really. But you'll teach them how to accept defeat graciously, and you'll point them towards redemption. Here's what the Bible says about discipline. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. God's doing a work to perfect us, and so there's discipline that goes with this. And that's what earthly parents are hopefully doing, discipling, disciplining to get us to be more like Jesus and to do what's right and pleasing to him. And then the writer said, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Nobody likes discipline. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. It takes effort to disciple children or anyone else, but we're in it for the long haul, right? And so it takes time, and it's not always easy. And you may not see results from blessing your family or from discipline or discipling for them or others in your life right away. It may take years or months, or it might be that you'll see immediate difference. You can leave the timing and the results up to the Lord, but the benefits can be eternal, and bestowing blessing makes a difference. Some of you have an opportunity today to make a new commitment to bestow blessing in your home, bestowing a blessing on those in that circle of influence in your life. And some of you have never known what it meant to receive that kind of blessing, and your heart and your spirit, your life are still kind of stinging like Esau's was, you know, that there was no blessing for him. You blessed everybody else. You didn't bless me. You blessed my brother, my sister. Why couldn't you be more like them? You know, and you didn't bless me. And that wound is still there, and it feels more like you've been cursed than blessed in your life. And to curse means to esteem lightly or to dishonor instead of being esteemed and honored. And instead of high value, you've been devalued. And instead of honored, you've been dishonored. But I've got good news for you. There is healing and blessing for you from a loving father. There was a time in Israel's history when a man named Balaam was hired to call down curses on God's people. And he refused to honor them, refused to value them. He called down curses. But look what the Bible says. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. And somebody may have spoken a curse over you, you know. Somebody may have failed. They withheld the blessing the way Isaac withheld blessing from Esau. It may have all gone to somebody else in your family. You may have never heard anybody speak words of blessing over your life, but there's a heavenly Father that can turn the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Maybe nobody else has valued you, but he values you. God loves you. He wants to bless you. He loves you so much. He sent his one and only Son to bear the punishment of your sins and die on the cross in your place. He wants to save you and father you and love you and bless you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you and for your life. And you see, he breaks the curse by becoming your heavenly Father. And you're now his child if you trust in him. You may not have had a father to bless you, but you've got a heavenly Father now, and you've trusted in his Son, and he puts you in a spiritual family where you can be embraced and loved and nurtured, and he speaks words of blessing and affirmation. He's got his arms around you today to comfort you and to hold you and to give you hope and a future. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm talking to somebody. some that are recognizing you need to change the way you speak to your family or your spouse or those, maybe your employees or your coworkers or the people that God's put in your life, and you're ready to make some changes, and God will bless you and help you as you purpose in your heart, as you commit to that task of speaking blessing and empowering others. And some are suffering because the blessing's been withheld from you and you've been living under that pain and under that curse. But hear the word of the Lord this morning. He wants to turn the curse into a blessing for you because he loves you. And if that blessing has been withheld from you, come to the Father today and see what he'll do in your life. He wants to bless you. He's got something good for you. Let's stand together this morning. Father, I thank you that you are a God of blessing. And though the curse may have come to some, and it may be, Lord, that no one ever spoke blessing over their lives, but you are the faithful God who has blessing for us today. You exchange the curse for a blessing. You're here to empower and to lift us out of that pit we've been in, to turn things around for us. Some of us, Lord, just need to make a commitment to actively pursue being people that bless others. But Lord, there's some of us this morning that we need healing in our soul and our spirit. There's a wound that's still there because we were Esau and not Jacob. And you, Father, have a blessing for us today. You have a blessing for us. Would you bring it to our hearts and spirits? If you're here this morning and there's a wound somewhere from words that were spoken to you or words that were withheld from you, and you need to be healed this morning. You need God to just speak that blessing to you. I wonder, would you be courageous enough, I'd like to pray for you, to just slip out and come and stand here at the front where we can pray together this morning. I just feel like it's not an indictment against anybody. Nobody has to know who or what was said or wasn't said or anything else. It's just about you taking a step to say, you know what, I need healing of an old wound that came. Maybe somebody, maybe a friend that said something to you that wounded your heart and spirit 30 years ago. And it's still there, and you just need to exchange that because he turns the curse into a blessing for you, and he'll do that today. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you, let's sing this, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And as we sing, lift your voice to the Lord and bless him. But if you need prayer, I want you to come and let me pray with you today.
Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
Lord, I thank you that there's blessing for us today. I thank you, Lord, that you still turn the curse into a blessing. Wow, what can do that? What can turn a curse into a blessing? What can turn those words of dishonor and devalue by somebody so significant in our life? It really was, Lord, like there was a cursing. You're nothing. You're nobody. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never succeed. You'll never be good enough. And God, you turn it around. You deliver us from the power of those words. The arms of the past aren't long enough to reach us, nor are they powerful enough to break through the barrier of your saving grace and mercy. And our spiritual walk with Jesus is stronger than our DNA. It's stronger than the house we were raised in. It's stronger than any of those things. And the blessing of a heavenly Father is able to break the curse of everything out of our past, Lord. We say it again. The Lord your God would not listen to Balaam or those who would curse our lives, but turn the curse into a blessing for us because the Lord your God loves you. Lord, may we hear it today with prophetic power and influence over our lives. The words that that man spoke to you do not control or determine your destiny. You are free from that today. In the name of Jesus, you are free from that today. The curse that he spoke over you by his words and verbal and emotional abuse, it no longer has power to determine your destiny or your future. It's broken from your life today. And the blessing of a heavenly Father who knows you and loves you without hesitation, unconditionally he loves you, that Father has power to set a new course, a new destiny, a new direction for your life. Hear it and receive it. it and don't be entangled with that stuff anymore. Don't let that stop you from being everything God's called you to be. Yeah, but my family has always struggled with this. My family has always been like this. Well, it's a new family. It's a new day. You've left Egypt. You're in a promised land. It flows with milk and honey. There's a new purpose for you. There's a new power at work in you. There's a new anointing upon your life. There's a blessing over you. God's blessing, God's purpose is established in your life. Honey, God's going to bring something to you, something that you thought was dead, and the stump all of a sudden is starting to sprout and something green's coming to life. It's going to blossom and blessing is going to be yours again today. Oh Lord, let it be for somebody that needs to know it. Let them get it in their heart through all the turmoil and all the drama and all the pain and all the stuff messed up. Lord, let that word penetrate by your grace and your power this morning. Let them know that the blessing of God rests upon you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, let it be for the people of God. That's the blessing we speak over you today. Let me say it again. The Lord, it's up there. Let's say it together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. One more time, let's read it again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. His face is upon you this morning. You can rejoice in that. You've been blessed. Go be a blessing in the lives of others. Amen.